Grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
Beep, 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 beep. Morning. Your alarm clock's going off. Time to get up. What do? Some of us might reach over and hit the snooze button, telling the alarm clock, you're not the boss of me. Some of us might reach over, turn it off, and then go back to sleep. Others of us turn it off and get up. And then what do we do? Check our phones, stretch, go to the bathroom. Using the research of Laura Vanderkam, author of the book What the Most Successful People Do Before Breakfast, the business magazine Inc. suggested 14 things that successful people do every morning. Some examples include: they wake up early, they drink lots of water, they exercise, they connect with their spouse, they make their beds, and so on. Doing these tasks and so many more is supposed to help you have a great start to your day. But how many of us sleep in, don't drink as much water as we should, avoid the exercise, don't connect with our spouse, and don't even make the bed? How you begin something has a big influence on what follows. For example, consider the gospel reading for today. Right, these famous Beatitudes from Matthew 5 are the beginning of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And he starts by talking about people who are down and out. Those who are poor in spirit, who are meek, who mourn, who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and so on. What's up with that? Well, on the one hand, it could sound like this is Jesus' version of what successful disciples do before breakfast. But if this is what success looks like for Jesus, then it's a pretty messed up list. I mean, sure, there are some people who are poor in spirit and mourning and meek and hungering and thirsting for righteousness, and we sort of admire them, just like how we sort of admire those who get up early and exercise and make their beds and all that. But what about those of us who aren't that way? What about those of us who don't want to be poor in spirit, or mourn, or meek, or hunger and thirst for righteousness? What about those of us who just want to stay cozy and comfortable, both in our beds and in our lives? Do we then just dismiss these Beatitudes as not applying to us? No, of course not. Because how you begin something has a big influence on what follows. Notice, for example, the beginning of this text, before the Beatitudes even start. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, Jesus saw the crowds coming, but then retreated up a mountain. So who are these crowds? Well, right before our reading, we hear this. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, and paralytics, and he cured them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. So the crowds are all of the sick people Jesus just healed. They follow him because they want him to do more miracles. But Jesus heads up the mountain as if to get away from them. Then his disciples follow. Then he takes that moment to teach the disciples, saying that those who are broken are blessed. Now, maybe he's referring to those he just healed, right? The demoniacs, the epileptics, the paralytics. Or maybe he's referring to the disciples themselves. Or maybe it's both. Right? Whatever the case may be, Jesus knows what he's doing. Because how you begin something has a big influence on what follows. So why does he begin the Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes? Because, contrary to what some people think, he is not telling the disciples that they have to be a certain way in order to get blessed. Instead, he's describing those who are already blessed, which is not a message they normally hear. Basically, from the very beginning, Jesus is turning the world right side up. Those who are poor in spirit, or mourning, or meek, or hungering and thirsting for righteousness, or those who are demoniacs, or epileptics, or paralytics, they are not the ones the rest of the world would call successful. They're the ones the world would call losers. They're the ones to whom the world would say, do these certain things before breakfast if you really want to make it in this life. But instead, Jesus says no. They are already blessed. They are already important. They already have a place in this life. At Mainspring Academy in Jacksonville, Florida, Chris Ulmer teaches a very small class of students. There are just 8 of them. And these 8 students have been with Mr. Ulmer for 3 years now. All of these students have special needs. Some of them have autism, some have speech apraxia, some even have traumatic brain injuries. They are all kids who, as Ulmer said, came from a very segregated environment from general education students. But every day, they begin their time in Mr. Ulmer's classroom by standing in the front of the class, facing Ulmer, and hearing him compliment them one at a time. I love having you in my class, he said to one student. I think you're funny. You're a great soccer player. Everyone in here loves you. He says things like that for each and every kid, each and every day. That means all of these kids, who others have treated as outsiders, stand front and center and publicly hear that they are worthwhile, accepted, and loved. Because of Ulmer, these students are now participating in school activities, dancing in front of hundreds of other students, and even on the debate team. But even though all of those things are important, Omer says that it's more important to reverse the psychological damage that came from being treated like an outsider. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the demoniacs and the epileptics and the paralytics. Blessed are the students with special needs. That's how Jesus begins his Sermon on the Mount. And that's how Chris Ulmer begins every day with his students. Because how you begin something has a big influence on what follows. And I know that story of Chris Ulmer is a touching one. But what about the rest of us? What about those of us who might not be poor in spirit? Or an epileptic? Or a person with special needs? What about those of us who roll over and tell the alarm clock to shut up so we can get 9 more minutes of sleep? Or those of us who reluctantly get out of bed because we don't have any choice? Well, consider some of the reasons why you don't want to get out of bed. Maybe the person you see in the mirror has some nasty things to say to you, like reminding you of all the bad things you did yesterday and how you're just going to screw up today too. Maybe you think about all the people you'll see who just get on your nerves. Maybe you don't want the world to tell you yet again that you are not enough. You're not pretty enough, or smart enough, or strong enough. You're not old enough, or young enough, or mature enough. You're not big enough, or small enough, or exercising enough. Maybe you just want to hide under the covers because at least there you feel safe. You don't have the voices of the world screaming at you and telling you that you're worthless. Until the alarm goes off. And when it does, it screams in your ear, telling you that you're unsuccessful at even getting out of bed. But imagine that the Beatitudes are like Jesus starting your day by turning off your alarm, sitting on the edge of your bed, and telling you, I love you. You are blessed. Life is hard. You know that, and I know that. But no matter what anyone else says, no matter what else happens, I think you are wonderful. You are worthwhile. You are important. You are treasured. You are loved. How you begin something has a big influence on what follows. Having a beginning like that, hearing those promises from Jesus, is not only a great way to start the day or start the Sermon on the Mount, but it's also a great way to start a new life. So, people of God at St. Paul Lutheran Church, you are blessed. And that promise shapes the rest of your life that follows. What a great way to start. In the name of the one who calls us all blessed, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.